Your friends largely determine your success and destiny in life. I want to share six things that you should look for in a friend.
And now for six things to look for in a friend.
Thank you for joining Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. Welcome all of you joining us today at Brothers of the Word. Those of you who are joining via social media or online at brothersoftheword.com, welcome to today's service. Always a wonderful delight and joy to have you to tune in and join us. I would like to share just a little humor. A woman rushes into her house one morning and yells to her husband, "Sam, pack up your stuff. I just won the lottery." Sam replied, "Shall I pack for warm weather or cold?" "It doesn't matter," she replied, "just long as you're out of the house by noon." Well, we've been sharing in a series, I believe this is part six, we've been entitled Short Path to a Great Life, and taken out of Psalms 117. There are three things there. This is the shortest chapter in the entire Bible. Three things there were pointed out to us, and the first one was to live a life of praise and gratitude. We did a couple of messages on that. And then the second one was enjoying his love, enjoying God's love, and sharing that love with others. And then the third comes from one of the final lines there in Psalms 117, which simply says that the truth of the Lord endureth forever. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. And so we've been talking about standing on his word, standing on his word. Those are three powerful things that are far-reaching, have a far-reaching impact in our lives. We can live a lifestyle of praise and gratitude. We can enjoy his love and share it with others. And if we can stand on his word, stand on his word. Praise God, because his word is true. His word is true. God is faithful to his word. He can never lie. If he said it, it'll come to pass. Praise God. You can take his word is true. You can take God at his word. In fact, over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 26, it says, "Put me in remembrance, put me in remembrance of my word." God gave his word. He said, "You're free to remind me of it. Put me in remembrance of my word." And it, not necessarily so much for his memory, but for ours. So he wanted us to remember his word, to always bring his word back to him. In that same verse, he invites us to actually engage almost like in a court setting. He said, "You can argue your case. Use my word and you can argue your case." Isn't that good? God invites us. He invites us. See, anytime you have a dialogue with God, man, go get in his word and take his word to him and say, "God, you say it right here. See here? You say it right here. I can have that." And so you argue your case just like an attorney. He invites you to do that. He said, "Come, let us reason together. You plead your case. You can plead your case." But he said, "Put me in remembrance of my word." And so that's what attorneys do. You know, they have law and they have precedent. And so they'll cite references and all of that. And so God invites us to come and approach him the same way. Put me in remembrance of my word. God's word is true. Here are just a few statements, that preliminary statements that we gave last time. Something John Osteen said. He says, "Put God's word in you when you don't need it. It'll be there when you do need it." Also, like something we said, he also said this. He said, "The promises of God become the power of God when they are believed and acted upon." The promises of God, you want the power of God? Listen carefully. The promises of God become the power of God when they are believed and acted upon. God's word is his power. In fact, over in the book of Hebrews, it says he upholds all things by the word of his power, by the word of his power. So the promises of God become the power of God when they are believed and acted upon. And Adrian Rogers said, he said, if you have a Bible that is falling apart, you will have a life that's not. And so God's word is effectual. It's effectual, as we talked about last time, God's energy, it effectually worketh in us. I love this scripture about God's word. It's found in Psalms 91, but it says that his word is my shield and buckler. His truth is my shield and buckler. His word is my shield and buckler. One translation says that his word is my armor and protection. His word is my armor and protection. His word is my armor and protection. So there's protection, there's security, there's a defense system in God's word. It's my armor and protection. Some people won't leave home, you know, unless they're packing. Well, God's word is our armor and our protection. It's our armor and our protection. It's our armor, our shield and buckler. Shield is, back in those times, they had a large shield. So they had a really large shield, and that's what you would kind of get behind to protect yourself from, you know, arrows and so forth. And then they had a smaller shield. This one you got just holding your hand. That's the buckler shield. He's my shield and buckler. So he's my big shield and my little shield. So he's a little shield. He's my shield and my buckler. He's my armor and my protection. God's word is your armor and your protection. Notice that Jesus himself, he used the word to protect himself against the enemy's attack. Every time Satan came against him, Jesus simply said, "It is written." You notice that? Now here's the Son of God. He could have done a lot of things. He could have called angels down from heaven. Well, in fact, he could have just flipped the devil with the flip of his finger. He could have just knocked him out or whatever, used his great power and authority as the Son of God. He could have done that, but he didn't. He operated just as you and I operate. He used God's word. He said, "It is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And so God's word is to your spirit what natural food is to your body. And many of us, we eat 3 squares a day. But we feed our spirits 1 cold snack a week. If you think about that. And so that's what Jesus was saying. Just what food is to the body, God's word is to your spirit. And you would be weak if you go a week without eating. And many of us, we just have a small cold snack a week of God's word. But it's our armor and it's our protection. It's something powerful there. We'll pick up here. We started looking over in Psalms 1. Psalms 1, we're just kind of highlighting different places that kind of highlights God's word. Psalms 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now notice this. I had never noticed this, but notice this. This is talking about your associations. This is talking about your associations. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So there's some admonition here concerning our associations, concerning our associations. Notice your associations largely determine your success and your destiny in life. Your friends show you your future. Your friends show you your future. James Clear said this. He says, "Your friends show you your future habits." You can see your future habits by looking at your friends. And so our lives are largely affected by our associations. And so that's why we get the admonition here, right here in Psalms 1, about our association. Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So it's talking about associations there, to guard your associations, guard your associations. Well, let me give you six things. I want to give you six things that you ought to look for in having a positive relationship, a positive association, or a good friend, or whatever you want to call it. There are six qualities you should look for. Number one, you should look for someone who says positive things, who speaks positive things, true things, encouraging things, someone who conveys good, somebody who conveys good. Number two, you should look for someone who's genuinely interested in you, genuinely interested in your well-being, somebody who wants the best for you, somebody who brings out the best in you. You can tell if it's a good association if your life is improving or not. Are you getting better or are you getting worse? And that's a good barometer to use, but that's number two. Number three, you want somebody who will be fully present, somebody who will listen, somebody you can talk to, bounce ideas off of, somebody who will listen, who has your best interests at heart. Somebody who'll be fully present, fully present. You know, a lot of the times we're not fully present. Stats say that 47% of the time, whenever we are doing something, we're actually thinking about something else. 40%, almost half of the time, we're half present. We're half present half of the time. If that makes sense. So half of the time we're with somebody, half of the time we're not fully there. We're not present. We have so many digital distractions today. So you want somebody who will be fully present. Now, these are qualities that you're looking for in a positive association, a positive relationship, but these are also things you want to bring to a relationship yourself. And so you're looking for these positive traits and characteristics, but these are things that you want to have in your own life as well. That's number three. So number one, you want to say somebody who says positive things, true things, encouraging things, who conveys good. Number two, somebody who's genuinely interested in you, wants the best for you, brings out the best in you. Number three, somebody who will listen, be fully present. Number four, you want somebody that you can be vulnerable with, somebody that you can trust, that you can be vulnerable with, that you can share your heart. You don't have to worry about being hurt or it being all over town. Somebody that you can be vulnerable with. And number five, you want someone that you can grow with, someone who can share wisdom with you, someone that you can share with as well, someone that you can grow with, someone that has, you know, some common interests where you're going in the same direction, somebody that you can grow with, have some common interests there, some things where you can share with one another, some things that will lead to positive action in your life. That's a great characteristic that you want in a close, positive relationship. And number six, you want people in your life who exemplify the qualities that you want. You want people in your life where you can look at and say, I want my life to be like that. And, you know, it could be one particular area that, so you may have associations that are strong in one particular area. For instance, if you need some fitness in your life, then I would look at Ringo. He's a great association to have because he's so strong in that area, and just rubbing off of him, it just improves your life. And so these are just six traits or characteristics that you should have when you are choosing friendships or positive associations and relationships in life. And so I found that in Psalms 1, he deals with our associations. He deals with our association because our success and our destiny is largely determined by the associations that we have. The quality of the people you have around you determine largely where you go in life. And so Psalms 1 opens with that. So he opens with that. Even before he gets to the word, he opens with that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now he gets to the word, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Whatever you delight in impacts your desire. When you enjoy something, you want to do it. You want more of it. It's not really a chore when you delight in it. When you enjoy it, you find yourself doing more of the things that you enjoy. And so that's why he wants us to make his word our delight. Because the more we enjoy it, then the more we'll want to spend time in it. The more we'll want to hear it. The more we'll want to read it. And so you make it a delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. The word meditate in the Hebrew word hagah, and it means to reflect, means to mutter, means to ponder, means to contemplate. In Hebrew, thought is actually quietly repeating the scriptures to yourself. You're abandoning outside distractions. And so, in fact, in Hebrew thought, they actually use a little humming sound when they meditate. It's kind of like a little droning sound they use, but they're repeating softly the scriptures. And they use that sound to block out any outside distraction. They meditate on the word. They meditate on the word. And so his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So that lets us know that we're to weave it into the course of our day. You're to weave it into your daily activities. And so you can meditate on the word while you're driving to work, while you're cooking, while you're cleaning, while you're exercising. You can meditate on the word. I love to do it when I'm taking a walk, when I'm taking a walk through my neighborhood. That's a great time, because now I call that habit stacking. Now you're stacking habits. So now I'm getting exercise, I'm getting fresh air, and I'm meditating on the word all at the same time. Isn't that good? That's habit stacking. So you want to stack good habits. You want to stack good habits. Or if I'm in the gym, always listening to God's word, always have my earphones on, always listening to somebody preaching to me, always listening to the word, meditating on the word. So you can stack those habits. You stack those habits. But it's designed there. He's letting us know day and night, you just interweave it. It's interwoven throughout the day. Deuteronomy talks about that. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, it says that's the way you should talk about it with your kids. You should talk about the word while you're in the way. It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And so notice that. So interweave it throughout your day. Find creative ways to just weave God's word into your children's lives, and weave it in into your family's life. So you weave it in throughout the day, throughout the course of your day. You weave it in. I found that letting God's word play in your house. Oh man, what a powerful benefit that is. Powerful benefit. Pastor Nathaniel, he has God's word playing in several different locations. He has the Words for Healing CD. You can go to wordsforhealing.com, but he has the Words for Healing CD, and he has it playing. I believe we normally have it playing out here in our healing garden. He has it playing at his office. He has it playing at another office. So he has it playing everywhere. And it changes the atmosphere. It sets the tone. It changes the vibration. It brings a peace and a calm and a tranquility into your home. So it works beautifully in the home. Find a place in your home to just let the Words for Healing CD play in your home. And you can turn the volume down very softly, you know, so it's not overbearing, but you turn it down some. But it does something, because God's word is going forth all the time. It changes the vibration. It changes the vibration. I started doing that in my own home, and I would find that, man, it changed everything. Just changed the atmosphere, changed the vibration. And that's because there's power going forth. You know, we talked about last time, there's energy in God's word. There's energy, there's power in God's word. And so it changes. And so what a beautiful way to weave it into your day is to have it playing by audio in your home. You can have it playing by audio. In fact, we have a 24-hour radio here, Brothers of the Word. So you can turn it on and let it play. It'll play continuously. So, but anyway, there's a power there in God's word. There's a power in God's word going forth all the time. So that's what he's saying. Meditate on it day and night. So notice this. Meditation is very similar to worry. It's really worry in reverse. Worry is actually the inverted form of meditation. Think about it. When you're worried about something, I've seen people just walking around and talking to themselves, trying to figure out the problem because they're so worried. That's meditation in reverse. They're thinking about the problem all the time. They're thinking about it. They're mumbling to themselves, Lord Jesus, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, they're worrying, but that's really meditation. They're thinking about it. They can't sleep. They're thinking about it. They're worrying about it. That's meditation in reverse. Worry is simply the negative form of meditation. But what if we change that? Rick Warren said this. He says, would you rather have your worries or God's word running through your head? Confess your worries and then fill your mind with God's truth found in the Bible. Jesse Duplantis said this. He said, choose God's timeless truth over your temporary thoughts. Choose his timeless truth over your temporary thoughts. I heard Bishop Dale teaching once, and he was teaching on the difference between a glance and a stare. And he said a glance is brief, but a stare is an extended focus. He said you glance at your problems, but you stare at the promises. You glance at your circumstances, but you stare at God's word. And so we are to keep God's word going over all the time, going over on the inside of us all the time. It is so powerful. It is so dynamic. And that's why it was highlighted in this little series, The Truth of the Lord Endureth Forever. And it's a simple reminder to us to stand on the word. Stand on the word. Give it first place in your life. Stand on the word. Because his word is true. His word is true. His word is true. Let me just share this and I'll stop for today. Let me just share this last little part here in Psalms 1, verse 3. And it goes on and says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. After you meditate on the word and all of that, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that's a picture of evergreen. When that tree is planted by the rivers of water, doesn't matter if there's a drought going on, doesn't matter if there's a drought in the land, because it's planted by the rivers of water. It's evergreen. So it's not moved by the circumstances because it has roots now that are pulling from another source. And so it's evergreen regardless of whatever else is going on in the land. This tree planted by the rivers of living water, it's evergreen, it's always flourishing, it's always strong, it's always energetic, it always has vitality because it's drawing supplies of strength, life, and vigor, but it's doing it in secret, undiscerned ways. You can't see it because the roots go down. So it's drawing all of this life secretly. You can't see it in undiscerned ways because the roots are going down. And so that's the way our lives are. So when people see you, They can see you in the middle of catastrophe, in the middle of hard time, and you still have joy. They don't understand what they can't see. They can't see your roots that go down in Christ. They can't see your roots that go down in the Word that's drawing life and energy and vitality. They can't see your roots. In fact, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, just as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, walk ye in him. And then verse 7 says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. One translation says, let your roots go down deep into him. Man, that's that tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither. And listen to that, wither. That has to do with your, not only your spiritual life, that has to do with your physical life. The word impacts and affects your physical life. His leaf will not wither. That's the energy, that's the vitality. Man, that's just the flourishing, evergreen picture of a life spent meditating on God's word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so, man, there are some powerful things there. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I heard a testimony recently. A man had he had digestive issues. And so there were just certain things he couldn't eat because he had this digestive issue that he had it for years. And he said one day he was sitting at his table just reading the Bible. He was reading in the book of Hebrews. The funny part about it, he wasn't even reading a healing scripture. He was just reading in the book of Hebrews. He said he felt healing take place just reading the book of Hebrews. Sure enough, he went, got it checked out, started eating all the things he couldn't eat before, and never had another problem. Completely healed. Just reading the book of Hebrews. Just reading the book of Hebrews. It's God's life is in his word. God's energy is in his word. And so I just wanted to just remind you to enjoy him and to stand on the word, stand on the word, stand on the word. Praise God. Amen. It's your armor and protection. It's your armor and protection. Amen. 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 Praise God. I'm going to stop right there. Those of you who are watching by television or watching online, I want you to go to brothersoftheword.com. You can listen to this entire series absolutely free of charge. You can also email it to a friend. But thank you so much for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was the message titled, Six Things to Look For in a Friend, by C. Elijah Bronner. This message is number 3067. That's 3067. To listen to thousands of free messages, or to send this message number 3067 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you, and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because brother, you need the word.